Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern with the Colgate Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shaving Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shaving Man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll again, you'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate Shave Cream fan.
The 501st edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Featuring America's most famous collector of yarns and stories, some legends, some hearsay, but also interesting, we'd like to pass them along to you. And to do this, here's radio's number one sports reporter, Bill Stern.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest tonight is Mrs. Lou Gehrig, but first, here is Real One. You know, most shaving troubles are a combination of two things, tough beard and tender skin. If that's your problem, brother, try Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. That Colgate Brushless lets you shave off the toughest beard as easy as fuzz. There's no razor snagging or scraping. Your face feels really cool and comfortable afterward. And to let you prove it, Colgate makes this swell proposition. There's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash, and here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy heavy creams. No matting down, no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
Man, what a beard softener that light, fine-textured Colgate Brushless really is. You've never seen whiskers come off so slick and smooth, nor enjoyed such a comfortable, face-happy shave. And what's more, Colgate Brushless is thrifty to use. A little goes a long way. Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. Try it 1 week, and if you don't agree that it's the ideal shave, just return that carton top to me, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey, and we'll send you $1. Is that fair enough? There's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Reel two, Portrait of Memorial Day. Last Monday was Memorial Day. On every Memorial Day, they hold the famous Indianapolis 500-mile Speedway Classic. One of the strangest stories ever to come out of these Indianapolis races is the story of a racing driver named Lewis. A story that begins one day when Lewis went to see another racing driver, a driver named Ed. And Lewis said to Ed,
Ed, can you lend me $10,000?
$10,000? What for?
To build a new racing car. Will you lend me the money?
What guarantee do I have that you'll pay me back?
Well, Ed, I'll give you all the stock in my new automobile company as security.
All the stock in your new auto company, huh? I'll have to think it over, Lewis.
Ed did think it over. He thought it over, and then he decided against lending Lewis that $10,000. Perhaps you'd like to know who that racing driver named Ed was who decided not to loan his friend Lewis the $10,000. That racing driver is now famous as the president of Eastern Airlines. His name is Eddie Rickenbacker. But what about Lewis, that racing driver who wanted to borrow that $10,000? He became much better known as Louis Chevrolet, the president of the Chevrolet Motor Car Company. And that stock in the Chevrolet Motor Car Company, that stock that Louis Chevrolet was willing to give to Eddie Rickenbacker in order to borrow $10,000, that stock is now worth $800 million. Yeah, there are many strange stories that come out of auto racing. One of the strangest is taking place right now today in Sweden. For in Sweden, there's a driver named Carl Gustaf, who drives a midget racing car. What makes this story so unusual is the fact that this Swedish racing driver, Carl Gustaf, who does drive a midget racing car, is the crown prince of the royal family. But even more incredible is the fact that Carl Gustaf, the crown prince of Sweden, who does drive a midget racing car, is only 3 years old. Reel three, Profile of Lou Gehrig. Eight years ago yesterday, a great man died. His name was Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig, one of the most famous ball players of all time, who died on June the 2nd, 1941. Strange how that date, June the 2nd, seemed destined to affect this great ball player's career. The first time that a June the 2nd was to affect Lou Gehrig's career was when he joined the New York Yankees. For he joined the Yankees On a June the 2nd, he became a regular member of that team. On another June the 2nd, a year later, he began his famous playing streak. On another June the 2nd, and he set a world's record in games played. On still another June the 2nd, he left the New York Yankees. On still another June the 2nd, a year later, on still another June the 2nd, he died. But perhaps the most dramatic moment in Lou Gehrig's life came shortly before the day he died. It came on a day in the Yankee Stadium when, knowing that he was about to die, Lou Gehrig said to 74,000 people who'd gathered to pay him a final tribute,
"They tell me I've had a tough break, but I think I'm the luckiest man alive."
The luckiest man alive? Inside of 2 years, Lou Gehrig was dead. Dead of multiple sclerosis. That's why several weeks ago, his wife, Mrs. Lou Gehrig, made a dramatic plea for the Lou Gehrig Fund before the United States Senate. A plea for funds to help combat this dreaded disease, multiple sclerosis, that had killed her husband, Lou Gehrig. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to recreate that scene for you. Here is Mrs. Lou Gehrig speaking in person, exactly as she spoke 4 weeks ago before the United States Senate.
Gentlemen, my husband was in excellent physical condition. Then he was stricken by this insidious disease. At first, he simply couldn't play baseball with the skill which won him a place in the Cooperstown Hall of Fame. Then he couldn't play well enough to stay in the Yankee lineup. Finally, he couldn't play baseball at all. As the disease progressed, he couldn't dress himself. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't walk. 2 years after he hung up his Yankee uniform for the last time, he died. To watch someone close to you become a helpless, hopeless paralytic, and to know that medical science is powerless to halt the progress of the disease, is something which no person should be called upon to endure.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Lou Gehrig. Mrs. Gehrig, you have the satisfaction of knowing that your husband can never, never be forgotten. Just a moment, I'll be back with another amazing story, the story of a little girl. But first, here's Reel 4 and Arthur Gary.
Men, no shaving proposition beats this. Listen. There's one buck cash, says Colgate Brushless, wins you in a flash. Yes, one buck cash says this is it for the clean, smooth, comfortable shaves you've always wanted. And here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured. Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. There's no matting down. There is no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless. Instead, it cuts through clean and smooth.
Try Colgate Brushless. See how it does away with razor scrape and soreness. Discover how slick and smooth and downright comfortable it makes your shave.
Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. If 1 week's use doesn't win you completely, just send me back the carton top and we'll mail you your dollar. Address, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey. Remember, there's one buck cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Reel 5, Portrait of a Little Girl. This is one of the strangest stories we've ever told. But let's begin this story, for it's the story of a little girl. A little girl about whom we know nothing. That is, we know nothing about the history of this little girl. Until July 6th, 1944, when she was about 6 years old. Up to that time, we can only guess what her life was like. However, the chances are that her life followed the pattern of most little girls. She liked games and would sometimes pester her mother, like the day perhaps she came into the house and she said,
"Mommy? Swimming."
Yeah, our little girl probably liked sports. Chances are she liked all sports. Chances are she must have come into the house once and said to her mother,
"Mommy, why don't the boys let me play baseball with them?"
"Honey, you're a little girl. Boys don't like little girls to play in their games."
Now our little lady was growing up. When she reached the age of 6, we no longer have to guess at her life. For from here on, we know her story. As she reached her 6th birthday, she was very, very pretty. And the happiest night of her life came on the night of July the 5th, 1944, when she was told,
"Honey, you can go to the circus tomorrow."
"The circus? And see the elephants and the bears and the tigers and lions?"
Our little girl did go to the circus the next day, July 6th. 1944. She sat in the grandstand and her blue eyes opened wide in amazement.
Oh, look at the clowns! Look at the funny clowns!
Then the trapeze artist came on. Our little girl was fascinated as she watched. But suddenly as she was looking up at those trapeze artists, she saw something else in the top of that circus tent. She saw a tiny puff of smoke, a puff of smoke that was reddening into a tongue of flame. The big tent was on fire. The little girl gasped in horror as the entire top of the circus tent began to blaze. Shouts and screams rang out as the frightened crowds raced for the exits in panic. Women were trampled, children crushed. The entire tent became a blazing inferno. Tent poles crashed down. The burning canvas came roaring down in ruins. It was the worst fire in circus history. Ten minutes later, it was all over. And on this horrible July 6, 1944, in Hartford, Connecticut, 168 people were killed. But what about our little girl? Our little girl who was 6 years old when that fire began. When it ended, she was dead. Burned to death. But by some miracle, her face was still untouched by the flames. Even though she was dead, her innocent blue eyes still shone with happiness. She still seemed to be saying,
"Oh, look at the clowns. Look at the funny clowns."
They put her picture in the newspapers. Childish. Innocent. The people of Hartford poured out money for a fitting funeral for this beautiful girl. And so she was buried. Well, that's the story. The story of a little 6-year-old girl who was burned to death in the worst circus fire in history. But the amazing part of this story, the amazing part of this story, is that this little girl has never, never been identified. Nobody knows who she was. And that's why each year in Hartford on July 6th, the anniversary of her death, people still ask, who was she? What about her parents? Why has nobody ever come forward to identify her from her pictures in all the newspapers? And that's also why on every Christmas, on Christmas when most little girls are playing with their new toys, on Christmas, two detectives from the Hartford Police Department, two detectives who tried so hard to identify her body, but they couldn't. Those two detectives waded through the snow to drop a wreath on the grave of Little Miss Unknown. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, we'll be back same time, same station, broadcasting from Chicago, where our guest will be the great baseball pitcher, Monty Stratton. See you then. Until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the news of the day, newsreels at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, till next Friday night at this very same time, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good night.
Bill Stern, the Corker Shaker Man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Corker Shaker Man, had lots to say. He told your tales, sports heroes, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
On your newsstand now is the June issue of Sport Magazine, with another in the series of sports stories by Bill Stern. This one is in next week guest's Monty Stratton, the one-legged pitcher. Read the whole amazing career of this courageous Monty Stratton as only Bill Stern can tell it. Don't miss Bill Stern's story of Monty Stratton in Sport Magazine on your newsstand now. And listen to Monty Stratton on this program next Friday night. Tomorrow night over NBC, hear Colgate's Hour of Fun. Hilarious Judy Canova followed immediately by A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Portions of the Bill Stern show tonight were transcribed and came to you from New York.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.